Our first scripture reading of the morning is from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Matthew. These are words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, very short part of that, of verses 22 through 24. I invite you to follow along. Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want you to think back for a moment to those old Saturday morning cartoons that feature that lovable character, Mr. Magoo. Mr. Magoo sometimes wore huge glasses and he was always fumbling and stumbling about. Well, Mr. Magoo's lack of clear vision sometimes got him into hilarious situations. For example, he would strike up a conversation with a parking meter thinking that it was another person. At the zoo, he would mistake the 800-pound gorilla for a hot dog vendor. He would zoom down the sidewalk, thinking it was the highway onway ramp. Well, what makes Mr. Magoo so funny is that he is blind to his own blindness, just like many of us. And this leads us to our second scripture reading of the morning. We're still in the New Testament, we're still in the Gospels, and we're looking at the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 8, and I'll be reading verses 17 through 25, which is sort of a run-up to the story, which will be the focal point of the message this morning. Once again, I invite you to follow along. "And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them," meaning the disciples, "why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" And they said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Quite often, we tend to think of the gospel narratives as a jumble of disconnected stories that are just sort of thrown together without any rhyme or reason. Nothing could be further from the truth. In our second scripture reading from the Gospel of Mark, which I just shared with you, he editorializes just a bit by the careful placing of this story. Because immediately preceding the physical healing of the blind man at Bethsaida, we find a glimpse of the spiritual blindness of the disciples. It's another of those classic cases of Jesus' frustration with his disciples. He says to them, "Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear?" And then he says to them in verse 21, "Do you still not understand?" The very next line, they came to Bethsaida and brought to him a blind man, to which Jesus might have replied, "I've already got 12 Mr. Magoos following me around already." And so what is at one level, the simple healing of a blind man, is at a deeper level an eye chart for examining our spiritual vision. In the end, you and I see what we want to see, and our hearts follow our eyes. Have you ever noticed that after you buy a car, all of a sudden you start seeing that make, that model, and that color everywhere you go? I remember several years ago buying the ultimate family vehicle, a Ford Aerostar minivan. It had it all. Front and rear air conditioning, cup holders galore, and then plenty of space behind the third seat. And I have to tell you, I just loved it. I got to sit up high. When I went to the grocery store, I got nods of approval from all those doting mothers. But I never noticed how many green Ford Aerostar minivans there were until we got one. And then I saw them everywhere I looked. My eyes were following my heart. Where our treasures are very much determine what we see and what we don't see. And possessions can be our number one blinder. Cars and clothes and computer gadgets can pile up all around us and blind us as we sit behind a walled-in partition of all of our favorite stuff. And as a result, we don't see things in life that really matter. Think about this. You blink about 25 times per minute. Each blink takes about a fifth of a second. That means if you drive your car for 10 hours at 40 miles per hour, you'll have driven 20 miles with your eyes closed. Scary thought. Now I know you can't fool me. I sometimes think you save up all your blinks for the Sunday sermon. Now, unfortunately, there are Christians who have approached the Bible like Mr. Magoo. We believe that we see things clearly, but the reality is we don't see very well at all. And Satan, the evil one, thrives on minor misreadings of God's word, because just if NASA were to send a rocket into outer space and a minor miscalculation of the calibration of that rocket, it could send that rocket thousands of miles off course. In the same way, a minor misreading of God's word can send us way off target. Well, I think the big E at the top of the eye chart for examining our spiritual vision is, how do we see people? The man in the story from Mark's gospel saw people as though they were trees walking around. In the movie, the doctor, William Hurt, plays this highly skilled yuppie cardiologist who looks at people's arteries as if they were clogged sinks. But his real problem was in how he saw people. Too often, he saw people as if there were trees walking around. His bedside manner was non-existent. He never let himself get too close to any of his patients. In fact, in his pre-surgical consultations, he doesn't even look his patients in the eye. But then something happens. This doctor is diagnosed with throat cancer. All of a sudden, he's now forced to experience medicine from the other end of the stethoscope. And what he discovers are people who care for him and love him. And from then on, this doctor is a changed man. He now has a heart for people who are at the end of their rope. Some of us have blind spots in how we see other people. I don't know. Maybe you're a husband who has perfect 20/20 vision, but you have a blindness that runs roughshod over your wife or family. Some of us parents are as blind as Mr. Magoo when it comes to seeing and how we can better attend to our children. Some of us are so nearsighted that we can't see beyond our tiny circle of friends. Some of us are so farsighted that we miss the chance to love and serve people right under our noses. Oh, don't get me wrong, we want to go out and change the world. Well, the people nearest to us seem to suffer most and are often neglected. We've got eye trouble, me, myself, and eye trouble. At the turn of the 20th century, the greatest astronomer at the time was convinced that there was life on Mars. Sir Percival Lowell, who's on the screen behind me, was noted for his studies of the solar system, but he always had this fascination with the infamous red planet. And when Sir Percival Lowell heard back in 1877 that an Italian astronomer had seen straight lines crisscrossing Mars, he was determined to spend the rest of his life squinting into the eyepiece of a huge telescope in Arizona, charting the canals and channels that he saw on the planet's surface. He was convinced that this was a sure sign that there was intelligent life on Mars. Back then, no one ever challenged his findings or his beliefs. Who would ever want to challenge the greatest astronomer of that day? The only problem with Sir Percival Lowell's findings is that we have sent countless space probes up to Mars and none have ever sent back any pictures of a canal. So then what happened? What we now know is that Sir Percival Lowell suffered from a rare eye disease that caused the blood vessels of his own eyes to swell. And so that when he was looking up and drawing these pictures, as you can see, what he was really seeing were not canals on Mars, but the bulging veins of his own eyeballs. Today, we call that Lowell syndrome. Here's the point. We can get the spiritual equivalent of Lowell syndrome. Jesus said to beware of looking at the speck in your neighbor's eye when you've got a telephone pole in your own eye. And quite often, when we're pointing out the faults of other people, what we're really seeing are the defects of our own vision. Think for a moment about the person of whom you are most fed up with at this very moment. And then ask yourself, are you really looking at the faults of that other person, or are you observing the defects of your own vision? My friends, we have met the blind man, and he is us. And we know eye problems require the sensitive skill and care of a physician. And the good news that I want to give you today is that at this very moment, you are in the operating room of the great ophthalmologist. Oh, and what a wonderful bedside manner he has. We read that Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Now imagine for just a moment the huge splash that Jesus could have made if he had performed a spectacular miracle right there in front of the villagers of Bethsaida. He doesn't do that. But they would have run home and told all their friends how they saw Jesus miraculously heal a blind man. But instead, Jesus takes the man by the hand and he leads him out to a quiet, wooded area. And then Jesus took the warm saliva from his mouth and he put it on the man's eyes. And we think, oh, yuck, why would Jesus do that? And I tell you, I don't know. I don't know why Jesus would spit on that man. Why Jesus wouldn't say, rise up and walk or get well, like he did in so many other healings. Here's what I do know. Touch can be very comforting to a blind person. Back when I was in senior high youth group, during the time of Noah and the flood, we were having a Halloween party and we're doing one of those corny icebreaker games in which everyone sits in a circle and then one person is put in the middle of the circle and then blindfolded. And then everyone around the circle sort of changes seats so you can't remember who was sitting where. And the blindfolded person is put on a person's lap and then tries to guess who that person is by touching their face. And for us teenage boys and girls, it was a way to have some good, clean fun while still keeping our hormones in check. Well, that particular day, I got picked to be sat on by a blindfolded Beth Robertson. How significant was that? She was the hot ticket in the senior high, who I had a huge crush on. And so she sat on my lap, and then she ran her hands up and down my face and all through my hair, and I just loved every minute of it. And then our youth leader asked her, well, who do you think it is? How would you describe his face? Ugly as sin is what I think I remember her saying. Obviously, she was blind. Touching is important to a blind person, and Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. And so Jesus bathes this man's eyes in warm saliva, and suddenly the thick black darkness to which this man has stared all those years suddenly melts away into warm golden sunshine. In the words of an old Joni Mitchell song, it pours in like butterscotch and sticks to all his senses. Rainbows and sunsets and butterflies and children playing all enter his field of vision. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Well, how do we get 20/20 vision of the heart? Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, which was our first scripture reading from Matthew's gospel, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, then your whole body will be flooded with light. Now, the Greek word for healthy is the word haplos, which means single. Jesus wants us to have a single focus. We can do that by having a little eye test right now. I want you to look at my finger out here. At the same time you're doing that, it's going to be tough for you as a choir, look at the cross behind me and above me. It's hard to do, isn't it? It's kind of blurry. Jesus wants us to have a single focus. He takes this man out to a place where he can face a single person. And friends, this morning, Jesus wants us to look into the face of that person, to have one direction and one goal, one Lord, one Master, not 22, not 7, one. If you look into the face of Jesus Christ, friends, you will truly see clearly. It's like that hymn chorus I just love, sang it when I was growing up. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Friends, Jesus is still healing blind eyes. He's still touching people a second time. He helped the man in the video see things they had never seen before. The man used to see people like they were trees walking around. And oh yes, it took a second touch, but then he got the eyes of Christ. So, are you someone here today who is in need of one of those second touches? Maybe in your marriage, maybe in your family, maybe in this church. I'm here to tell you that the doctor is in and he is walking the aisles of this room this morning. And may he give you his very own eyes. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, some of us can see very well with our eyes, but on a deeper level, we are as blind as Mr. Magoo. And so we pray that you would touch our eyes with your healing power this morning and give us 20/20 vision in our hearts. Grant to us sight and insight into your truth and into your ways. God, we know that there are those among us today who are driven by blind rage or blind ambition or even blind fear. We pray that we might feel your second touch or third touch or whatever it takes to cure us of our spiritual blindness. And finally, Lord God, we pray that we might see with your eyes the people who are around us and reach out and touch people with your love, mercy, and amazing grace. It is in Jesus' name that we pray all these things. Amen.